Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Author Talk and Rising Light Media, where we interview some of the most fascinating religious and spiritual authors in the world. Today, our guest is Courtney Hall Lee. Courtney Hall Lee is an independent scholar in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's an attorney turned writer, and Courtney earned her AB in English from Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire, and a JD from Case Western Reserve School of Law in Cleveland, Ohio. This is Courtney's first book, and it's called Black Madonna, A Womanist Look at Mary of Nazareth. This book began to bubble up out of her graduate studies at Hartford Theological Seminary and her young daughter's year spent as a Protestant child in a Catholic school. Welcome to Author Talk, Courtney. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to talk about your new book, Black Madonna.
Thank you. I'm so glad to talk to you. I'm really excited.
Courtney, we're in the Christmas season, which is fun, which celebrates the birth of Jesus. But whenever we conjure up the nativity scene in our minds, we are inexorably drawn and forced to picture the mother of Jesus, the Madonna,
right, who
is venerated most especially by the Catholic Church. She's traditionally pictured in the West, and you mentioned this, as a white young woman in a light blue dress adoring the newborn baby Messiah, right?
Right, exactly. That's
the
idea that we see in the little statues around the Catholic churches in our towns, usually.
Yeah, exactly, especially Catholic. They have that picture. The little the title of your book, however, is Black Madonna, and the subtitle of your book is A Womanist Look at Mary of Nazareth. And as I began to read your book, I was drawn to the dichotomy and the variety of all these various Marys throughout history, the iconic Mary, the historical Mary, the Black Mary. And I was first pulled one way and then another in your book as you go through these various pictures of what in reality was probably a poor peasant woman who was certainly not white and might have been raped. At least that was a rumor spread even in Jesus' own time among his detractors. And that might or might not have been true. So before we delve in deeper into the picture of this woman, help me to understand your trip through this maze of sometimes opposing pictures of this young woman, perhaps barely in her teens, named Mary.
Right, and I think that what you mentioned, all of the different Marys that we see, but that dominant image being the very white Mary in the blue dress, who is very virginal, is what struck me as something that, for myself, and I think for a lot of other women, especially African-American women, I just couldn't relate to it. It's not realistic, and it wasn't something that I could really grab onto and take something from in my faith. I think that for Black women in particular, there's been such an emphasis on the relationship with Jesus, and Jesus is always seen as sort of a divine co-sufferer. And so I think that, at least in my church experience, we were always kind of pointed towards the cross, which makes you kind of skip over the beginning of the story, and Mary is just sort of a bit of an afterthought. The other reason I think that we might not talk about Mary too much in the Black church is because we don't necessarily follow the liturgical calendar. I know some churches do. My husband went to a church that did, but Advent itself was a new concept for me as an adult. And it was during Advent when I was attending a Presbyterian church that I first started even thinking about Mary. So I kind of got that inkling about her in my mind as somebody who mattered and someone who I wanted to learn more about who she really was. Like you said, this would have been a young woman who was in a very controversial situation. She may have been raped. You know, where did the baby come from? That's a question that many people would honestly have. And this sort of high-in-the-sky angelic white Mary, you know, who was she really when you kind of put those two polar things together? And that's what I was trying to figure out with this book.
Is there really a big difference? Yeah, you've been to both sides, in predominantly white and Black churches. Is there a major difference in how we look at the Madonna in these two communities?
I think there is. I think that in white Protestant churches, as well as in the Black church, that concept of the veneration and just her place there, the amount of space that she takes up, is not very substantial. I found in both churches. However, I think in white Protestant churches, because they do still pay attention more to Advent, to the calendar, to the story, at least she kind of shows up in that space. I would say on the other side, in the Black Church, I tend to think of her more around Easter, standing at the cross and watching Jesus die, because that suffering and that redemption is, I think, a big part of Black theology. Whereas white churches, that's where I'm more likely to see the Christmas pageant and some of those things that we
right.
traditionally think of as American church Christmas stuff. But in my experience, that's been at predominantly white churches.
Well, you mentioned your daughter went to Catholic school. Did you get a different view of the whole Mary experience? Did you ever get involved in it enough to see that?
Absolutely. And she went to this Catholic school just from a number of different factors that landed her there. Catholic education wasn't something that I was seeking out. But when it came about, I said, this can be interesting, and we'll see how this goes. And she was a second grader, so this was the class that was getting ready for their first communion. So they were getting plenty of religious instruction in their class.
Right.
And I found that her teacher used Mary a lot, I think, as a comforting figure to the children. My daughter was afraid of the crucifix. As Protestants, never really leave him up on the cross, and that's not something that we've had around our home. And so that picture of the crucifix, that violence, really sort of scared my daughter, and I think scared some of the other children, interestingly. And so I think because Mary, she's pictured as being young and pretty and alive, that's part of why they grabbed onto her as a figure. And, for little kids, I think using a mother as a way to teach about faith, it just comes pretty naturally. So I think for her, talking about a mom, talking about a woman, and talking about that happier part of the incarnation, the having a new baby versus putting someone on the cross, was appealing to her as a young girl.
That's interesting, isn't it? Where did we divert the Protestants? Was that a Luther thing? Do you know? How did we evolve away? Because it is so strong in the Catholic Church, the veneration of Mary.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that Luther himself, would have had a stronger tie to venerating Mary and some of the saints in his upbringing before he sort of made his big theological shift. And with Luther himself, you see that tension and that evolution as his writings move along. For myself, a big part of my Protestant identity, and I think that as a child, what I call Protestant now, as a child, I think it would have been more of a evangelical theology that I was raised with, was that rejecting Mary was differentiating ourselves theologically from Catholics, that we don't do that.
Right.
We don't do the prayer to saints. We don't do the Mary thing. We are all about, a personal relationship with Jesus. And so for me, it's that identity in a way defined itself by pushing her away.
You know, you can't see me, but I'm grinning because I was raised Episcopalian, and I think I took anything out of confirmation class other than Episcopalians think they're just better dressed Catholics. It was the difference in the worship of Mary. And you reminded me, I go to a Catholic church, I will see the suffering Jesus on the cross, but not in Protestants generally.
No, they always say Catholics leave him up there, and we like to let him come down. We have that plain cross, and so that is something that I think Catholics and Catholic children in the school are taught to have to grapple with. I think that sometimes children's church and ministry can have a very sanitized version of the resurrection story.
Right.
And so, it's interesting that image is so central to our faith, yet it does have violence in it, and it can, freak kids out. I get it.
I get it, too. Your book is entitled Black Madonna and How Black Women See Mary. First, what do you mean by Black Madonna? And secondly, what are Black women's views about the mother of Jesus? As you try to summarize this whole thing, is it a uniform vision in the Black churches, or what do you mean by Black Madonna?
Well, I came to the term from the more traditional use of Black Madonna, which is based on some of the icons around the world who show a darker Madonna or a bronze black-skinned Madonna. And I know that, and I'm honestly not an expert on that aspect of icons and things like that, but that's where the term first came to me. And I always thought it was interesting because though they talked about those Madonnas as Black Madonnas, it wasn't what I, as someone who calls myself a black woman, would think of as a black Madonna. And so that came into my head, well, for me, what is a black Madonna if she were black the way that I call myself black? And I found that if there's a white Madonna, we see a lot of her, that there could be a black Madonna that perhaps I can take something from. So for myself, it's being able to relate to her in the ways that my womanhood has been defined, my motherhood has been defined, my faith has been defined as a black woman. For me, I can't separate that from anything else. And I think in part, that's what the term womanism is about. Some people say that they've had to try to fit themselves into figuring out what type of feminist they are, but womanism is something that we just wear sort of naturally. So that's what moved me to want to take this womanist look at her and see how it works. As for black women at large and how they feel about her, it's not something that I had really discussed with other black women before coming up with this idea. I would say there's very little sort of consensus or general thought about her. I think that, you know, if you talk to most black women, that they, you know, that the incarnation is important to them, and so the virgin birth is an important factor of that. But I don't know that pondering Mary or any sort of relationship with Mary has been something that black women have spent a substantial amount of time on, at least not for myself. And other biblical women, I think that Sarah, for instance, and Ruth in the Old Testament, that the black church theology has sometimes grabbed onto sort of equating ourselves with the Hebrews and the Jews in the Old Testament, right, with being a people in exile.
Right.
And for whatever reason, those matriarchs are people that I hear about more. But Mary has been strangely absent for me in the black church, which is part of the reason that I wanted to write this book.
In the black church, is the role of the woman different than perhaps in a white church? You've been to both. Is it a more prominent position, or is a male position dominant in a black church? I know these are generalities, but maybe you can talk to that.
Yeah, it's interesting because to this day, and I believe it's been this way for decades, if you go into a black church, you're going to probably see more female congregants than men, and those women do have sort of a place of honor and a de facto deacon kind of role within the church. You know, you hear of some churches call the older women church mothers, and they sit on the first pew, and they wear a white suit, and they really are elders. It's this place of honor. Yet at the same time, there are still black churches that are very traditional about having a man in the pulpit, and some that still follow a very strict sort of Baptist idea that women should not be preaching from the pulpit, or at least, you know, that strain of baptism. So it's really interesting to kind of see that juxtaposition, that women are there and they're honored, and, you know, they're very much church elders, but they're not necessarily seen as clergy leaders. That's been interesting to me.
Yeah, it's interesting to me too, because the women traditionally in black culture in America, at least, and you go into this, you know, in the slave society, the women had to be the strong ones. And for very good reason, the men might have been shipped off as a slave to another family or whatever they wanted. And so the women have kind of held everything together, and they kind of still are.
Yeah, you know, and that's something that as a black American woman has always been very apparent to me, and also very curious to me as to why that is. And I do get into it a little bit in the book, that
you're right,
just the general structure of our families was so broken by slavery that different roles, you know, had to come up. But I do still see that the black woman has a really strong role in our families and leading our society. If you look today at some of the social movements, at people who are showing up to the polls, I know we just recently had an election where there's been a lot of talk about the black female vote making a big difference down in Atlanta with the election of Doug Jones. But for some reason, that strong black woman identity has just remained very true for us, and I'd say for better or for worse, because while it is very empowering, in certain areas, in certain respects, I believe that it also can be a little bit limiting for those times that you just don't feel strong, or you don't want to be strong, or you need someone else to help you pick up the slack.
Sure.
But I know that that's something that many Black women that I've talked to over the years certainly relate to.
I'm going to switch gears here on you because of my own personal interest, and quite frankly, we do a lot of this on the show, the historical Jesus, just because I'm fascinated with the studies there. And there's a great deal of interest in learning more about not only this historical Jesus, but obviously that has to include the historical parentage and family. What are your thoughts on the importance of searching for that side, the historical side of Jesus? And in that vein, what about the historical Mary?
Right, right. And, you know, there has obviously been a very large interest in the historical Jesus over the last, you know, couple of centuries in theological circles, and I think just in the culture. And for me, what's important about the historical Jesus is that it grounds him in his fully human aspect, you know, fully human, fully divine. It's easy to think of the resurrected Christ as this very supernatural, you know, thing that we aren't able to fully grasp. But when he's human, when you know that he was actually walking in these areas that are mentioned in the Bible, that he was interacting, that he was a real figure that has endured for thousands of years, for me, that really just grounds him in the human side of the incarnation, which is important. And I think using Mary in the same regard has been also very important to me, to remember that she was human. She was a mother. She was vulnerable. She was likely very young. And she was a woman living in the margins. And I think that for me, in terms of my Christian faith, there's no coincidence that that's the type of woman that was chosen to be, you know, Theotokos, the God-bearer. And so, you know, searching for that human Mary, I believe, complements the search for the historical Jesus by bringing him down to earth, by having a mother who cares for him, that worries about him. I think a lot of, in the Gospels, there are a lot of spaces where Mary is not saying all of what she thinks. You know, Mary pondering is something that comes up, and we don't really know what she was pondering about because she wasn't at the center of the story. But for me personally, becoming a mother, it really made the way that I view Jesus and his crucifixion very different, very real. And it made me really also think a lot about the other women in the world who have experienced losing children. You know, we all say that parents aren't supposed to bury their children, and especially if we're talking about a violent death or a state-sanctioned death. I think as a Black mom, living in this current time period in the age of Black Lives Matter and Trayvon Martin and Tamir Rice, that all just naturally rolled up into a ball with Mary for me. And so I think that really thinking of that political violence also is an important piece of the puzzle.
I agree with you. And I really enjoyed your book. I wanted to tell you that, and exposed me not to something new, but I had to think about things, and that's the best part of being a great author. You know, that's wonderful. In fact, I'm going to take that into another modern phenomenon that we're just living through today, and that's the avalanche of news in the media about powerful men that have abused and bullied women without their consent, especially in the political entertainment world today. And while it's been commonplace for Protestant Christians to simply accept Mary's conception as a necessary part of the story of Jesus, I mean, he had to have a mom as a means to an end. Is there a concern about the fact that his conception can be seen as a sexual violation of a young woman? I mean, she was probably, you know, probably 12, 13. How does Christians who are against sexual violence, how can we reconcile that in this whole story?
That's a very good question. And I think that the first important point for me is to start looking at this as a Christian and as a church from a place of knowledge that there are women who have been victims of sexual violence as children and as adults. And so what is a happy story for many of us with a manger and donkeys and all of that can evoke some really serious trauma for certain people. And I think that this issue with Mary and the conception is one that is easy to want to skirt around because there's not necessarily an easy answer. For myself, I spent some serious time thinking about this while I spent time with Mary writing this book, is the idea of the fiat, the idea that when the angel comes to her and presents the situation, that she hears it, she questions first, you know, how is this going to happen? I am but a virgin. When she's given the answer, then she accepts it. And so I think that looking for an emphasis on bravery and choice versus submission and obedience really can be the nuance that matters here. You know, you can take how you tell, there can be several ways to tell the same story, and how you translate it and which words you choose can make all the difference. And so I think that this idea of submission and obedience are two words that I've heard a lot and that I've read a lot in relation to traditional writings about Mary and thoughts about Mary from males, from priests and male theologians. But for me, I relate to the fact that having a kid was really scary, and I was 27 and married and, you know, able to go to a hospital and all of that good stuff. But the fact that there was this vulnerability that was unlike anything else that I had experienced. And so it really did make me take what she went through seriously. And so I do think that it's something that we shouldn't ignore. And for the sake of the people in the church who have been experiences of sexual trauma, we cannot ignore it.
I'm going to ask you on a personal note, has motherhood affected your spirituality and your belief in Jesus?
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely has. And, you know, as someone who sees herself as a womanist and as a feminist, I know that using motherhood to define women is something that we need to be careful about not sort of forcing upon other women. But for myself, motherhood has absolutely made a difference. And I think it has to do with that relationship between Mary and Jesus, and it's made Jesus's death and resurrection something that I'm more able to grasp. I can grasp it as a mother thinking about a child much easier than I can as just a person holding the Bible, thinking about sort of this theoretical person. And so I think that for me, motherhood is so human, and it's about blood, sweat, and tears, and you know, real people and real pain, and that motherhood has really brought that piece of Jesus's story to life for me. It made it, it took it away from being a myth and brought it down to earth for me. And, you know, for that, I'm very grateful.
I can think of two episodes in the Gospels that are poignant and involve Mary. The first is told in the Gospel of Mark. He tells a story of Mary and two of Jesus's brothers coming to find him. Reading this in context, I think they were coming to try to talk some sense into him. I'm sure that they had heard stories about his wild talk about the kingdom of God, and maybe even that he in some way was the expected one, the Messiah. After all, he had just been chased out of his own hometown by people from his own village. I think they wanted him to give up this crazy talk and come home and help support the family. After all, he was the oldest son. He looked the people around him and said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." And his family went away. That must have been so hurtful for her. She was his mother, and she loved him. And the second episode is at the cross. There before her was her son, suffering a horrible death at the hands of the Romans, dying. All she could do was sob.
Right, I agree. And I also have really been struck by that story of when Mary and, you know, some of the brothers come to look for him, that would be so hurtful. And again, talking about the human Jesus and the historical Jesus and the historical Mary, you know, she probably saw the writing on the wall for where things were going with this very sort of radical movement. And I think for any parent to hear something like, oh, this is my new family now, that would be very hurtful. And I think that I've had to roll some of the things that Jesus says around, you know, like, this is my family now, and you don't get to bury your dead, and you need to take up your cross and give everything away and follow me. And so I think that it's something that's made me really take stock of how serious the Jesus movement was and how seriously he needed people to take it. But you're correct that at the end, it's the mother who is standing there and watching. And that has really made the story much bigger for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. And as a parent, you can see that. I mean, we have lost a child, so a grandchild a day before a second birthday. And you don't expect that, you know. I'm old. I can take that. But, yeah, it's hard. And so I can imagine if one of our children, you know, yours, mine, is suffering like that, because that was an ignominious death. That was, crucifixion was the worst of the worst ways that the Romans killed people. You know, it was not a pleasant sight. And often they went on for days, lived for days on that cross, suffering. So it was a tough, tough time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes you think. And it really makes the tremendous sacrifice that Jesus took and that everyone else who loved him went along with, like his mother, as the cornerstone of this faith. It's easy to have what I've heard called sort of a golden ticket Christianity, you know, Jesus died for our sins and now we're all good.
That's all.
Yeah, but,
yeah, that's it.
You know, there was some really brutal, painful, ugly things that had to happen to make that possible.
Yeah, and in some way that gives, especially the Black experience in America, that's probably been a connection there because of the suffering that the Blacks endured for so many years, and they could relate to Jesus. That's probably why they relate more to Jesus than Mary, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've had debates with friends and colleagues about the fact that I have a Christian faith and that it, in light of the history of Blacks in America, that it could be seen as something that was forced upon us.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it really has been a source of strength and a source of pride in using Jesus as that divine co-sufferer. And it also reminds me that Christianity, it doesn't belong to white people. It doesn't belong to Americans. It's a world religion that, you know, I, for a moment, am proud to be a part of. So, yeah, that's been something that's important to me as a black Christian.
Yeah, it is colorblind. And it has been for 2,000 years. It's in all lands. We don't all look the same, but the faith is in all lands. And I find that, you know, freeing, personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much more. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to say goodbye because this episode is over. But, folks, if you're really interested, I'm going to ask Courtney, would you stay a few more minutes? We're going to talk about something that was surprising to me, Mary in the Islamic faith. And that'll do that as a bonus section. Would that be okay?
Oh, that would be great.
Thank you, Courtney.
Oh, thank you, Rod. It's been a pleasure.
All right. For now, though, folks, unfortunately, it's my job to watch the clock, so I'm going to have to bring this wonderful time together to a close. But, folks, you can continue to read even more. You can tell this is a fascinating book. If you click on the cover right on the website, the cover of Courtney Hall Lee's book entitled Black Madonna, it's on the website right beside where you're listening to this. It'll pop you right to where you can buy the book. It's a fascinating read. Courtney's book makes the history of our faith and the faith of Jesus, and more importantly, Mary, his mother, come alive. And perhaps, just perhaps, we can add a little more understanding and love into God's message to mankind through Jesus. Thank you, Courtney Hall Lee, for joining me today on Author Talk. Thank you for writing your book. I really appreciate it. It's The Black Madonna. That's all you have to remember if you're searching for it in Amazon, Black Madonna, Courtney Hall Lee. And it'll help you fully understand the formative character of the mother of Jesus, Mary of Nazareth, and her role in the influence of Christianity. So for now, folks, that's it. I'm going to have to say goodbye. Until next time, this is Ron Way, faithfully yours.